you bow your heads in prayer with me, please? God, through the sung word this morning, we have certainly been reminded that you are here and that you are with us, and we just thank you and praise you for that. So God, as we hear a spoken message, may we hear again that you are with us and that you desire for us a full and rich life in you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Okay, I have a question I want to start with. What is your resting blood pressure? Okay, everybody get that kind of in your head. You got your resting, got that number in your head. Hang on to that. Now I want you to think about this last week, the worries that you had. The worries that you had last week that you may even bring here today with you. I want you to think about those worries. Really focus on them. And now I'm going to ask you that same question again. What's your blood pressure? Now I want you to take those same worries, and I want you to put them in your hand, and I want you to make a fist around them, and I want you to hold them. I want you to hold on to these worries. And as you're holding on to these worries, maybe we'll see projected some visuals of people who have that expression of worry. So maybe these expressions matched something that you experienced this last week as you held on to your worry. And I want you to keep holding on to it. I want you to keep it in your fist. I want you to hold it right here. Seriously, worry has become an American pastime. And for many of us, it's become so ingrained in our personalities that once the worries are gone, we search for new ones, and we may even make some up. Some of us worry because we don't even have any worries. And we become so dependent upon worry as a lens through which we view life. Honestly, is there any reason to be worried today? I think that most people would probably answer yes. The economy, rogue nuclear nations, threats of terrorism, tension around the world, and then move the concerns more personal and home. There's personal debt. There's family matters. I'd say there's probably reason for worry. But in the midst of this world of worry warts, Jesus isn't worried, and he speaks these words to us in Matthew chapter 6 that basically say to us, don't worry, don't fret. Because Jesus is against unhealthy worry. And let me add a disclaimer here. Jesus is not saying in this scripture, he's not addressing that sense of anxiety that some of us have that is just a part of who we are. He's referring to the kind of worry that is humanly manufactured because of a misdirected focus on life and a brokenness in our relationship with Jesus. And that is why he is so concerned. So are you still holding on your worry? Oh, so much on. Now, you may be loosening your grip a little bit because you stopped focusing on it so much, but I want you to focus back on your worry, and I want you to hold it in your fist. And I finally want to say we need to know that worry is work. Worry is work. Now, I want you to release it. And as you release it, what I want to fill our hearts and minds with is the word of God. Jesus spoke this message as a part of his larger sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And he addresses directly this issue of worry. So here are these words from Matthew 6, verses 24 through 34. And if you pick up a pew Bible, Matthew 6 is on page 6. Isn't that fun? No one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink or what your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? Why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, You have little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Rocking is relaxing for me. And so when I select various furniture for my house, always a common chair that needs to be available for me is a rocking kind of chair. So out back on my lawn in an area, I have a swing that I can rock back and forth. And then when I go into my screened-in porch, I have a glider that I can rock back and forth. I have on my screen porch, a macrame chair that I brought back from one of our mission trips to Guatemala that I can just rock back and forth. When I go into my family room, I have a lazy boy rocker that I love to sit in. In fact, sometimes I get frustrated when my dogs are sitting there looking at me and I know I have to stop rocking so that they can join me up on my chair. You know, as wonderful as rocking is, it doesn't really accomplish a whole lot. I don't make forward progress. And I probably don't really burn too many calories. Worry is basically just like rocking. It will get you started as you move back and forth, but it's not going to get you anywhere. It is futile to sit in a rocking chair and think that you're going to get to work on time. It's just as futile to think that worrying is going to do anything to resolve some difficulty in your life. It accomplishes nothing. It doesn't put more money in the bank. It doesn't make your body well, and it doesn't reverse a decline in the Dow Jones Industrial Average either. So Jesus says to us, don't worry. Don't focus on worry, but instead I want you to be hopeful. In saying this, Jesus is not by any means denying that worrisome things happen in our lives. Any one of us could certainly make a list of circumstances or stresses or storms that happen in our lives that are definitely worrisome, and anyone would agree with us that they were so. In fact, we know that this to be a truth so much that as a staff, we are in the midst of developing a series for the fall that will be about the storms of life, because we know that they do happen, and we know that we all need to figure out how to get through those storms faithfully. And in fact, we've scheduled a speaker to be here one of those Sundays who experienced and worked through one of those kinds of worrisome circumstances years ago, well known here in Indianapolis. Jesus doesn't deny that those worrisome times come into our lives. He, in fact, faced them himself. And in fact, he journeyed with people in his time as they were facing those kinds of worrisome circumstances. But what he tells us is that worry is an exercise in futility. First of all, oftentimes our worry is all about the past, and the past is the past. And it's not necessarily that we should dissociate ourselves from our past, but we ought to use the past as a spur to guide us into better action for the future, and not as something that we just brood about and focus on and just becomes consuming of ourselves. Many of the medical persons will tell you that the hospital beds are filled with constant worriers. 43% of all adults suffer health effects due to worry and stress. 75% of all visits to primary care physicians are stress-related worries. It leads to all kinds of ailments. Worry about the past, which is already yesterday, can absolutely consume us. We can become stuck. We can become fixated. And Jesus said, instead of fixating, and replace that immediately with prayer and with scripture and my presence. And that'll change that worry for you. Equally, Jesus speaks to the kind of worry about the future, because worry about the future is futile. Perhaps you know, because I know none of us here would be this person, the person who's, oh, what if? What if? What if? What if? And that cycle just continues to cycle through your head and forces you to lie in dread of the future, whatever it would bring. And you know what? Oftentimes, 90% of those what-ifs don't even come true. So pretty soon, it's like we're seeing our life through a dirty windshield. The Authorized Version, a version of the scripture, translates Jesus' commandment here to say, take no thought for the morrow. See, Jesus was forbidding us a careworn, worry fear that takes us away from experiencing the joy of today. Worrying about yesterday and tomorrow and even worry in the midst of today, it puts something over our eyes so we can't even see or experience the beauty of the moment. Gordon MacDonald said this, no man can ever sink under the burden of the day. It is when tomorrow's burden is added to the burden of today that the weight is more than a man can bear. The worry just wears out our mind and it chokes out all the joy that we can have in life. It affects our judgment. It affects the kind of relationships that we have. And Jesus knows all that. But also Jesus is concerned that when we do this, that we're breaking relationship with him. Now, when Jesus says, do not worry, I don't think that he's necessarily calling us to totally abandon our lives. And I also don't think he's saying that we need to empty our savings account, our 401ks. Rather, he is basing the basis for excessive worry and saying to us, that's what's got you caught. Over the years, many have mistakenly assumed that this is a prohibition against career ambition and financial planning and life insurance, but that's not what Jesus is saying. He likes pro planning. He wants you to work hard, and he wants you to plan for your future, because to do otherwise would be foolish. Just as do not worry does not negate planning for the future, do not worry does not mean that we shouldn't feel concern. If you're not concerned about your children playing near traffic, I don't think we'd be very good parents. So there is a degree of healthy concern, but there's a difference between concern and worry. Concern is when you can do something to help a situation, so you do what you can do and you're done with it. Worry is when you really oftentimes can't do anything, but you don't want to leave it up to God's hands, so you process it over and over throughout your mind. Worry is concern that goes haywire. Worry is a demonstration, which is what Jesus is so concerned about, of faithlessness. The Jews themselves were very concerned. They were familiar with this concept of worry. It was a teaching of great rabbis that a man ought to meet life with a combination of prudence and serenity. They would say, he who has a loaf in his basket and says, what will I eat tomorrow, is a man of little faith. You can spiritualize worry all you want, but it really comes down to the fact that worry becomes a sin. Because if we are a worrying Christian, what we're doing is we're separating us from God because we're trying to carry all the weight of life ourselves. And Jesus says, I'm your first love. So that's what you need to be focused on. As I read those first two verses in the scripture today, it said, no one can serve two masters. And there it identified wealth as being another kind of master. But our worry can easily become another master that keeps us away from God. And therefore, we begin to worship this God. Worry becomes a new God. And God says, then your heart is divided. And I can't fill your heart with all that I want to fill it with. And that really worry is practical atheism. The nature of faith is simply a matter of trust. We put our trust in many, many things, don't we? Get on an airplane, we trust that it's going to land where we're at our destination. Get in our car this morning, we trust that it's going to run. You put something in the mail and you trust that it's going to arrive at the address where you're sending it. But if we worry, we cannot trust. And if we trust, we cannot worry. So worry is a thief. It robs us of a quality of life that God desires for us because we focus more on something else rather than God. So here's the solution in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. We can have a fog, and a fog can blanket a city for 7 blocks, and it can be as deep as 100 feet. But if you take that fog and if you change it into water, it simply becomes one single glass of water. And worry is like this great big giant fog that can blind you. It can take your eyes off to the Lord. But when you see it, worry for what it really is, you realize that it's nothing more than a mere glass of water. And Jesus said, God will guide you through that fog of worry if you let him lead the way. He alone can overcome your worries. Don't worry, he says. Be hopeful. Then at the end of the scripture today, Jesus makes a promise. And he says, if you fulfill the condition of seeking first God's kingdom and all these things God knows you need will be given to you. And in that final statement, he says, the third time and the last time, do not worry about tomorrow. Do not worry about tomorrow. The problem with worrying about tomorrow is that you're never going to run out of tomorrows. You must learn to live life one day at a time, and God gives you the help for that for today. Remember the Israelites as they roamed through the desert, and remember the manna that God gave to them, and remember that was a provision for that day, and they weren't supposed to worry about where their food was going to come for the next day because God was going to provide. Mark Twain once said, I'm an old man, and I've known a great many troubles, but most of them never happened. Tomorrow we'll have trouble. It's unavoidable, but leave tomorrow alone. And when that day dawns, God's going to provide the grace and the strength that you need for it, but at the present time, here, you need to see and experience God's grace for you. So basically a question about life. Is our lives going to be a melodrama or mellow drama? In other words, will our life be a drama with sensational action and extravagant emotions and lots of worry, making things bigger than they really are, or turning situations into emotionally extravagant situations? Or can our worries become simple concern because you know that God loves you and that God can handle everything? I'm going to close with a sharing by a German mystic named Thaler that he experienced one day when he met a beggar. And he said to the beggar, God give you a good day, my friend. And the beggar answered, I thank God that I've never had a bad one. And Thaler said, God give you a happy life, my friend. And the beggar said, I thank God I am never unhappy. Thaler was a little amazed and he asked, what do you mean? Well, when it is fine, I thank God. When it rains, I thank God. When I have plenty, I thank God. When I'm hungry, I thank God. And since God's will is my will and whatever pleases him pleases me, why should I say I am unhappy when I am not? And Thaler looked at the man and said, who are you? And the beggar said, I am a king. And Thaler asked him, what is your kingdom? And the beggar answered quietly, in my heart. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Those of steadfast mind, you keep in peace because they trust in you.